Good evening, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. It's Parshas or Parshiot Hazireh Metzora. I want to start with a story. I had a teacher in high school who was a calendrical savant. You could tell him any date, the month and the day, and for a past date, he would immediately be able to recall the day of the week on which that date fell out. And the same was true for future dates as well. March 5th, 1963, that was a Tuesday. April 15th, 2036, that will be a Friday. His calendric expertise and exuberance didn't end there. He could do the same for legal holidays and their calendar dates as well. Thanksgiving, 1978, that was November 23rd. Memorial Day, 2041, May 27th, we were all amazed, a little weirded out, but also amazed. I personally have never been able to do anything of that sort. I can barely remember the day of the week it is while I'm living it, let alone be able to recall prior or know future ones. Half the time, I wake up in the morning thinking it's a Wednesday, only to find out from my wife, Yehuda, it's still Tuesday. The only reason I know today is Thursday is because I'm pretty sure Shabbos is tomorrow night. On most days, if you ask me what the date is, I will have no clue, not today, nor any other day. However, there is one thing I am aware of about today's calendar, and that is that even though we celebrated Yom HaAtzmaut today, even though today was the day Jews across the world and in Israel joyously commemorate the 73rd anniversary of Israel's independence, if you look at the calendar, today is not actually Yom HaAtzmaut. Let's rewind for a moment. The nascent state of Israel, led by David Ben-Gurion, declared her independence on May 14th, which corresponded to the day, the 5th of Iyar, Hey Iyar, 1948. Following the grueling War of Independence, in the year 1949, a year later, Hey Iyar was declared and set aside as Yom HaAtzmaut, Independence Day, a day to rejoice and celebrate the modern miracle of the creation of the State of Israel. And yet, as we fast forward now 73 years later, to this year, 2021, Yom HaAtzmaut was not celebrated on the 5th of Iyar. As a matter of fact, the 5th of Iyar is on Shabbos. Today was only the 3rd of Iyar. For those who have trouble doing math, that means we celebrated it 2 days early. Now, I know, I speak for myself as well, that we've all been anxiously anticipating Yom HaAtzmaut and all its traditional dietary customs. However, I think we would have been okay holding off on the falafel, the shawarma, the hummus, the tahina, falafel, everything, the blue and white cookies, the donuts, until Shabbos. It's not like we needed another day during this week, besides for Shabbos, in which we intensely overeat unhealthy foods. So why is it that Yom HaAtzmaut was celebrated today? It all goes back to an agreement originally made in 1951 and subsequently updated in 2004, which states that if Yom HaAtzmaut ever falls out on a Friday or Saturday, it gets pushed up to Wednesday and Thursday respectively. And if it falls out on a Monday, it gets pushed off to Tuesday. And due to the specific nuances of the Hebrew calendar, the 5th of Iyar can never fall out on a Sunday, Tuesday, or Thursday. All that boils down to the fact that Yom HaAtzmaut will only ever be celebrated on the 5th of Iyar when it falls out on a Wednesday, which happens much less than half of the time. So why is that? Why is Yom HaAtzmaut rarely celebrated on its actually original intended date? The answer is one word. Shabbos. Following miraculous victory during the War of Independence, the founding fathers of Israel, many of them observant Jews, were faced with a conundrum like no other. They wanted to establish the 5th of Iyar, the day that David Ben-Gurion proudly and defiantly read the Megillat Ha'atzmaut and declared independence as a day of celebration. And they wanted it to be genuinely celebratory with all the gusto of any modern state with their own Independence Day. It should have a national broadcast, parades, fireworks, and of course, barbecues, lots and lots and lots of barbecues. But then came the issue. What do we do when that day, when the 5th of Iyar coincides with Shabbos? On the one hand, they deeply, very much wanted to keep the sanctity, so to speak, of the 5th of Iyar. After all, that was the actual anniversary day. The actual day which marked the blossoming of a 2,000-year dream. The actual day in which, less than 3 years after the Jewish people almost faced total annihilation, had the courage and the chutzpah to stand up and tell the world, O Yehudi Chai, the Jew still lives on, stronger than ever. All that took place on the 5th of Iyar. What a day. However, on the other hand, many members of the founding government were observant Jews, and tens of thousands of passionate, dedicated citizens were Shabbos observant as well. And they most certainly would be unable to participate in the Independence Day celebrations if they were to be held on Shabbos. What do you do? After much back and forth, they agreed that whenever either the celebration of Yom Ha'atzmaut, or for that matter, Yom HaZikaron, or even the preparation for those days coincides with Shabbos, then Yom Ha'atzmaut will either be pushed backwards or forwards. Out of incredible sensitivity to the sanctity of Shabbos, Yom Ha'atzmaut gently slides in either direction. When we think about this historic narrative, this anecdote, and the accommodation and arrangement that was made to adjust the day of Yom Ha'atzmaut to avoid Sabbath desecration, it is pretty clear who the heroes in this story are. And yes, while it is certainly praiseworthy and commendable that the Jews, that the observant Jews in the government and country stood up for the values and communicated that their love, happiness, and dedication for the state of Israel could never allow them to desecrate the sanctity of Shabbos, and without a doubt, if their commitment to Shabbos weren't genuine and real, then there's no way the anonymous Shabbos observant members would have ever even entertained the possibility of changing the date of Yom Ha'atzmaut. However, in my humble opinion, they aren't the heroes of this story. In other stories are the heroes? Most certainly. The sacrifice and commitment to keep Shabbos has never been simple or easy, and it certainly wasn't that way in the 1940s. However, I believe that the heroes of this story are the Jews who didn't keep Shabbos. Because despite the fact that they personally didn't value or believe in traditional Sabbath observance, despite the fact that they stood ideologically on the other end of the religious spectrum, they accommodated to the sensitivities of the observant population and agreed to set in stone that Yom Ha'atzmaut would never conflict with Shabbos. They made it possible that one can be a religious Jew and a fervent Zionist without ever having to compromise on either. It is because of them that we have one Yom Ha'atzmaut, one day when Jews across the entire world celebrate and thank God together for Israel's independence. Because we don't know for sure, but we can only imagine that had that original compromise not been made, we could very well see a reality in which half the Jewish population celebrates Yom Ha'atzmaut on one day and half on another, leading to further fragmentation and divide across Israeli society and world Jewry as a whole. And it is because of them that is not the case. And tens of thousands of Jewish students across Israel and the world were able to celebrate Israeli Independence Day together, regardless of one's religious observance or affiliation. They chose to prioritize what unites us over what divides us. And this quality, these qualities, the quality of A, listening to an opposing perspective, B, making an effort to actually understand where the other person is coming from, and C, accommodating and finding the space for them in their reality, is a quality that is so sorely lacking in our world. These three steps of listening, understanding, and accommodating, or as I like to call them, doing the Lua, L-U-A, stem from an understanding that I am not the only voice in the room, that the world does not revolve around me and my opinions. The world is bigger than myself and my own experiences. I can choose to focus on what brings us together rather than what breaks us apart. In a world where we see continued fragmentation and divide, and the inability and unwillingness to listen to or respect each other, this quality that was beautifully highlighted by the founding fathers of the State of Israel has seemingly become all the more elusive. A study published a few years back, to be precise, almost exactly 4 years ago, in April 2017, by social psychologists at University of Illinois Chicago and University of Winnipeg, tested the willingness of individuals on both sides of the political aisle with strong views to listen to the perspective of the other side. Participants in the study were given the opportunity to earn cash prizes, and all they had to do was read passages representing and explaining the opposing viewpoint. Seems pretty harmless. Benign, not too painful. Just read an explanation for an opposing view. However, to the shock of the researchers, nearly two-thirds of the participants declined a chance to win the extra money. They said no to the money just to avoid reading statements that didn't support their personal positions. This aversion to hearing or learning the views of others even extended to reading opinions about trivial topics, such as whether or not one preferred Pepsi or Coke, what one's favorite season of the year was, or whether or not one preferred the aisle or window seat on an airplane. This study was a sad telling on the human condition and weakness in mankind. However, Judaism calls upon us to live to a higher calling, to travel down another path, a path of patience, a path of understanding of others, a path of realizing that very few things in life are black and white, that each and every person we meet has a unique set of circumstances, and that we can learn from them, from everyone, and we can learn to work together, to be understanding, and to make room for all of us together at our table, to follow the road taken by the founding fathers of the State of Israel, by people who had the vision and recognition of the value of listening to others and caring about other people's perspectives. And today we celebrate them. Today we celebrate the State of Israel, which is a beacon of that understanding. We celebrate Israel, which to this day is the only democracy in the Middle East. Seemingly, Jewish people love democracy so much that they want to have elections as often as possible. But in all seriousness, lastly, we say thank you. Thank you to God for giving us the gift of the State of Israel, for blessing us with autonomy in our own land, and for giving us a shining beacon of hope towards a brighter future, not only for the Jewish people, but for humanity as a whole. I wish everyone a good Shabbos. I want to end with A, quickly grabbing a drink of water. So just 1 second. Just one moment. I want to end with singing the Hatikva. I want to invite my father to unmute himself and to help lead us in the Hatikva. We'll see how this works. Let's see if he's able to do so. Ta? If not, I'll do it. It's okay. I'll do it. I guess he's unavailable, but it's okay.
Ah.
Okay, here we go. Kahalod Valevav Penema Nefesh Yehudi Homiya Ulefate Mizrach Kadima Hayin Letzion Homiya On Law of the Tikvotenu Hatikva Bad Shnot Alpayim Liyotam Chofshi Be'yahartzeinu Be'eretz Zion V'Yerushalayim Pam 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 Liyotam Chofshi Be'yahartzeinu Be'eretz Zion Yerushalayim.